everyone, and welcome to SPED Homeschool Conversations. We are so excited you are with us tonight, and excited that you can be part of our conversation. That's why we are live. So if you're joining us on Facebook, YouTube, or Periscope, we invite you to just put your questions, comments in the feed and join us along in this discussion. And today, we are concluding our discussion. We're talking about family and family relationships this month. And my special guest tonight is Connie Albers. And I just want to thank you, Connie, for being here and taking some time out of your schedule to just bless us. And so thank you.
Thank you, Peggy, for having me.
You are welcome. So our discussion tonight is going to be about a family-focused Christmas. And so we're in the Christmas season, and we're focused on a lot of things. This year, we've been focused on a lot of extra things. And so we're going to try to pull it in. and hopefully we'll leave you with some ways that you can stay focused on what's most important this year. And I also want to thank LearnWell Collective for sponsoring this episode of SPED Homeschool Conversations. We will hear more from them about halfway through our discussion. But you can check out their website at learnwellcollective.org if you're interested in knowing more about them right away. So Connie, as we get started, I just want my audience to get to know you, and you are just fascinating. So anyways, I would just love for you to tell a little bit about your family, your homeschooling journey, and just what you do continually to support families and homeschoolers.
Well, I'm a mother of five, and, you know, so many people have these stories of, I started homeschooling when, you know, the child was one.
Right.
I guess I technically was doing that, but when it was time to, like, actually do school,
right.
I was fully intending on sending my children somewhere, anywhere other than in our home. Who would do that?
I know. I wasn't my plan either, so I get it.
Peggy, it was just my husband asked me if I would prayerfully consider it. And you know, whenever you ask somebody or you invite them to prayerfully consider something, what are they going to say? No.
Right, exactly.
So I prayed about it, and we had a long discussion. And that simple request that he made, with me feeling like I was completely ill-equipped, I had no idea what I was doing. Not a bash in any way, but I didn't know what phonics was, and that's what we were supposed to start with.
You know? Right.
But what started off as just a I'll try it turned into something, you know, 21 years of teaching my own children and helping in that process of spending 30 years shaping and forming and molding the homeschool movement so that you and your listeners and the ones that are watching on YouTube and Facebook, so that you guys have the same, if not better, opportunities that
right.
I had when I was homeschooling. And that was just super important to me. Now we turn the tassel on the last child, and you know, you may end up asking me this. Some people say,
right.
So, like, were you crying? Or I'm like, no. When I got to the last child, I wasn't crying. The first child, I was crying. I
thought, yes, oh, exactly.
By the last one, I'm thinking, this is good. But it was good. We have an amazing family. The kids are all grown. Three are married. Four of them live right around me, literally within a couple minutes. And one lives about 15, 20 minutes away. But it changed our family legacy, Peggy. And I think that's why I've become so passionate. It's why I started to write this book, Parenting Beyond the Rules. Some people talk about the journey while they're in it. For me, I had to do it. I had to complete it to see, how did this turn out?
Right. Yes. It was an experiment.
Before I talk about it, because I kept thinking, woe to the person who speaks about something they don't know about.
Right.
Especially as it refers to the family and the way that we can shape or form or even influence somebody. I wanted to be careful. But that's kind of how we got in. I've been married to Tom now for 36 years, and
awesome.
We worked with kids, teens, and college kids for about 25 years.
That's great. Yeah. It does. Homeschooling changes the dynamics of the family, and I don't think a lot of people think about that. I love that you mentioned that, because I look at my kids and I look at the relationships I have with them, and I think, how precious. And in the middle of the craziness, you know, just when homeschooling was so hard when they were younger, you don't think about that. You just think about, can I make it through today? But On the flip side, that bonding, that closeness that you develop by being with them all the time, that it's just something you wouldn't trade. And so I love that you brought that up, and it's a good reminder for all of us.
Yeah, somebody asked me if we ever had a problem, you know, with homeschooling, and what do? You just have to laugh. It's like,
Right.
is that a serious question? They're little humans with their own, you know, mind, wills, emotions,
Right, exactly.
hormones, and, you know, personality types. And there were times where some of our personality didn't click too well.
That's a good way of putting it.
I wasn't their favorite teacher sometimes. I probably
Right.
wasn't even their favorite mother sometimes. But, you know, I think that's why, again, I stayed in it, because we have the opportunity, especially in this culture. I did a podcast for on my podcast, Equipped to Be. I did a podcast on raising kids in cultural chaos, and that's really where we are right now. And
Yeah,
I think that's
exactly.
why I was looking forward to joining you tonight, because, you know, that is what we're facing. We have over, Peggy, I don't know if you heard the recent statistics, but the recent statistics are there's like over 40 million kids in some form of at-home learning. That is, I mean, that is something unbelievable.
Right. We would have never thought that.
No, but
a year ago.
The exciting part is, it is unbelievable. We
Right.
have this opportunity now, even though 2020 has been crazy, and I know we'll go all into that.
Yeah.
We have this opportunity to change our family's legacies. We have the opportunity to
Yes.
shape, mold, and form our kids and teach them our values. We have
Right.
this opportunity to help them see the path that God has for them, and remove all these distractions that are constantly
Exactly.
pulling at us. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. Yes. Yeah. So many things have been moved out of our lives, and that's not such a bad thing.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, that's such a good point. And unfortunately it's taken this, but fortunately it's taken this. I mean, my husband oftentimes will, you know, talk about all the negatives that's going on in the news, and I'll say, but look what's going on here, and look what's going on here. And I, you know, it's just perspective and looking at the things that are happening instead of what's not. Love that.
Yeah, and on any given day, we go to bed with one news reel, and we wake up, and you know, it's like, what did I miss in 12?
I know.
You know, 8 hours or however many hours we're away. And the bombardment, the information is quite phenomenal.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, that's a good segue into our next question. Is, you know, just as we're talking about family relationships and Christmas celebrations with all of this that's going on, what is it that really is most important? Because we can get so lost in what's just the craziness of each and every day, or even the craziness of Christmas, which is a normal thing every year that people tend to get lost in. But now we're getting more. So hone us in. What should we be focusing on?
You know, the obvious of celebrating the reason for the season, which is Christ. And when we step back and we realize in previous generations, in different characters in Scripture, you know, we think we're dealing with something that's catastrophic. And it is, right? I mean, for many of us, it has been pretty devastating. But there have been past generations that have also faced enormous struggles and challenges and disruption, really.
Right.
But when we have to pull it back in and we say, what really matters? We're going at a slower pace. We are, what is I don't want to say non-essential, because that whole term connotates a different emotion now than
Right,
it used to.
Exactly.
But we've really pulled back the layers of the onion to discover what really matters to us. And that is our walk with the Lord, our time with the Lord. Talking and teaching our children, like in Deuteronomy, where it talks about how we're supposed to teach our children as we walk, as we go by the way, as we lay down, as we rise up. We're able to do that. And at this Christmas time, you know, those crafts that we're usually rushing through because we got to get it done.
Right, exactly.
Or the homeschool co-op, or we got to get this present wrapped real quick. And it's not, you know, it's not perfectly wrapped, not that it should be or ever will be, but we've been in such a season of hurriedness that in many ways this Christmas has the potential to be a real reflective season. And as you and I spoke before we went on camera, what really matters? Our health, our relationships within the dynamics of the walls that we all live in, how we're processing mentally, the mental health. How are we processing all that's coming our way? Are we, do we realize, are we acknowledging that God is still in control?
Right.
And
exactly.
God is still a good God, right? And so when we kind of pull all that back and we start to focus, that's an intentional focus perspective. And you said that, you know, just that perspective of we get up in the morning, there's something to praise. And even if you, because Peggy, I know your listeners and the folks that are watching on YouTube and Facebook and Periscope, you know, you have people around the world that are listening and watching this. And that means people that are in states or country that are being really affected negatively by this COVID virus, you know, they're experiencing something far different than, say, I am where I live.
Right.
One of the things we can do as a family right now at this Christmas time is realize that we're not all facing the same set of circumstances. I did a devotion recently, Peggy, and I was saying, you know, we're not all in the same storm. We're not facing it the same way.
Right. Yeah.
And we have to keep that mindset when we go online or we're talking to our friends or maybe we can't get together with extended family because maybe our state or our county or, you know, whatever is happening in response to the shift in this virus.
Right.
You know, they're not having the same type of experience. And I think that's important to ask the Lord how you can be aware and as sensitive and in tune with what others are wearing. Like I wear glasses and oftentimes I'll say like, Lord, this is a great visual. So kind of picture this and not now every time you see somebody with glasses, you're going to think this way, but it's kind of like, let me see through their lens so that I can see more clearly what they're experiencing.
Exactly. Cause people have lost jobs this year. They, you know, it's just, it's different. It wasn't what anybody expected, and our expectations can be so off kilter. And yet, I love that, you know, just knowing that your perspective isn't everybody's perspective. And I know I sit on the phone sometimes with my team and just listen to them and all of the things that their families are going through, just so I can get a better understanding of, you know, why they're doing their job the way they're doing it. Because, you know, you just can assume that somebody's not doing something because of whatever. But the reality is things have been completely upended in most of the families that we work with. And they're trying to create a new sense of normal. And that normal is not happening. And, you know, you hear even families that have been trying the public school thing. And it changes on a weekly basis. And we hear that from families all the time saying, I'm really getting frustrated because I can't find any normal because it just keeps changing. So, but our advice to you is just to do parent-led homeschooling and ditch the school. And then it won't change.
Exactly right. So right. I did an interview for, I live in Orlando area. And so I did an interview for Fox 35, Good Morning, their Good Morning program. And the segment was on how virtual learning is really causing trouble for young parents. You know, they're not keeping up. And what was my recommendation? And, you know, the reality is now more than at any other time in years of my lifetime, and probably, you know, God willing, we're not going to have this kind of thing again. We might, but we'll certainly know how to handle it better.
Right.
But the reality is, Peggy, we've got to manage our expectations and be really careful. These social media platforms, they're so wonderful. I mean, we can keep in touch with people. We can pray for people. We can, you know, message them and share requests and excitement and have, you know, proud mom moments.
Right.
But at the same time, they can be very destructive to our own, you know, mental psyche because we're struggling. You know, we have a child who hates doing school every single day and it makes it miserable. And somebody else may be showing all these pictures of how wonderful their kids are. Here's what we don't do. We don't begrudge the parent whose child is doing well and it's working well. And then we don't also like berate our own kids because they're struggling. we celebrate with those that are doing well. We cheer them on because they may be at a mountaintop experience right now. We may be down in the valley, but yes, they're so sort of going to go like this. It will.
Yeah.
And just to remember, if you are in a place right now where you're struggling, it's not, you're not going to stay there. You're in a season. You're in a season of trials. You're in a season of struggle and challenge and frustration. Mm-hmm. Maybe a season of uncertainty from financial or academic or isolation. Can I just tell you, you're not alone. There's millions and millions of you that are in that same spot. And for those of you that are, hey, this is great. You're happy that you're finally slowed down. You're happy you're getting things, your house decluttered. I keep seeing all my friends have all these posts. I've decluttered this and I've decluttered that. And I'm thinking, come to my house.
I'll
sanitize my house. You come to my house and just declutter. I love it. But, you know, I really want all of you to understand that your situation is unique to you. But God is in control of that situation, and he's going to lead you as you learn to trust him and listen to what he tells you to do. You know, every morning you wake up, you put those feet on the ground. It's like, Lord, what's my assignment today?
Right.
That's it. Just do today.
That's good. A good perspective to have, you know, even, you know, all the time, but in the Christmas season, when we sometimes get a whole bunch of other things and expectations thrown in there, that that we can just say, yeah, what can I do today? And then what you can't get done, you don't get done. But I also love that you talk about it as seasons of life too, and those ups and downs, because, you know, I'm sure just like me, you've considered throwing in the towel for homeschooling many times.
I just have to share because it'll give you guys, y'all be like, yeah, that's me. When I was homeschooling, and I had 5 children in 7 years, so I didn't really clarify. They were all bunched together.
Yeah.
And I had the left brain, the logical, sequential, they just kind of got it. And then I had the creative. She had to taste it, feel it, experience it, and read about it, and dress in that period of costume. And, you know, you just don't put those two together. Not in a learning environment. But I, you know, as my kids got older, and I would start to, I was doing more speaking and just encouraging moms, I'd say, yeah, my husband tells a story very differently than I tell the story. I tell the story about every month. I'd be calling the local school system, like the private school, to see, hey, you got a group discount? Because I got a whole bunch of kids. And they'd be like, no, Mrs. Albers, we don't. And my husband tells the story, no, you called every Friday. So, you know, there is those seasons. And, you know, this is a great time, kind of coming back to the season of Christmas. This is a time where you're able to lay those books down. Maybe you have to do a few lessons here or there because, you know, frankly, you got a little off track.
Yep.
Life happened and it derailed you. And it derailed your child. And there was that disruption. It's okay if you lay it down and you enjoy the relationships. You enjoy baking or decorating or, you know, binge watching whatever your favorite thing is on Netflix or whatever it is. And focus on that relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about it, you have this will be sobering, right?
Yeah.
You have 18 Christmases.
Yeah.
And then possibly your kids go off to college.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want when you're on that 19th Christmas?
Right.
Do you want it where you're saying, you are coming for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Or do you want it, hey, mom, when are we having Christmas dinner? When are we all getting together?
Right.
I bet most of you would say, oh, I want that ladder.
Yes.
And when we start to focus on 18 is not very many. We have the ability this year to make this one of our most memorable Christmases. One that in years, in 5 years, 10 years down the road, we'll be sitting around the Thanksgiving table and they'll be telling some stories, I promise.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But they're seeing it through their own lens and they'll recant it. Oh, yeah, remember when mom XYZ? And you'll just sit there and like, I don't think you remember history, right? but this is a great time, even in the midst of disruption and sorrow and grief and loss and uncertainty.
Right.
It's still an opportunity to create those memorable lasting conversations that you'll share for generations. They'll tell your grandkids about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we forget that, and it doesn't have to be elaborate. You know, it isn't those big, you know, trips out to go see these mega lights or all these other things. It's the crazy things you do in your home that your kids remember the most, and those are the things that build traditions too. I love that you talk about that because that's what our kids talk about too. You know, and it's the foods. You know, when are you making chocolate biscotti, Mom? You know, that's their favorites. So. But so it's the simple things.
And well, if you make that recipe, make sure you post it. So.
Oh, it's on our website actually. Is it's it? Triple chocolate biscotti, and I say it's got lentils in it. My kids don't know.
Now
they don't watch my show, so no.
I love it. So you even figured out a way. See, that is a creative homeschool mom.
Yes,
you figure out how to put spinach in your lasagna and all carrots in your spaghetti. I mean, you're just amazing. So you have lentils in your biscotti. There you go.
There you go. You can't taste them. So extra protein. It's not bugs. It's just beans. So, we do tend to get off track with a lot of, you know, those crazy things. And it really is the simple things that are so, so important. But you know, there's also other things that get us off track during the Christmas season. And before, you know, I guess a lot of things that we talked about in previous years have always been, well, being too busy or, you know, not taking enough time for all these other things. But this year has been a year filled with grief. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about this grieving process and Christmas, and how do we reconcile maybe not being as happy as we've been in the past? And I know you probably have a short story or two to share about that too. So I'd love for you just to kind of talk about that.
Well, it's interesting. This morning, the backstory is, you know, I lost my mom in January of 2019. Mm, so that was a very difficult year. 2019 was my book launched. My mom had passed away. She got to see the copy, but she didn't get to see the completed version of the book before she passed. And she passed a couple months before the launch. And literally within a week of my book launch, my father-in-law ended up in the hospital and we almost lost him.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, okay, just go through that year of grief, which was 2019. And I began 2020 thinking, okay, I've grieved, I've mourned the loss. And then of course COVID hit and we're a family of 10 and 7 out of 10 went from full-time employment to nothing, zero, like no income whatsoever. And I haven't talked to many families that have been so flattened like that. And there were many of us that have gone for absolutely months with no work. And the whole furloughing thing and getting the money, and that was a big issue because the sites kept crashing. So, we had this going on. And when you and I were talking about this season of grief and loss, so I lost my mother last year, and that was extremely difficult. And I thought maybe this year would be better. And I'm finding it's not, because it's in this time that I want to call my mom. Mom, can you believe what's going on?
Right.
Or, hey, Mom, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. But I lost my grandfather, and he was like my dad.
Wow.
And so we just laid him to rest. And my mom's husband called me this morning. And so it's just how timely that our conversation is about this tonight. And he said they're having a service at church, and they want to honor those that have lost someone. And he says, I just don't think I can go. I said, why? And he read the letter. And Peggy, the letter stated, while this may be a season of holly, jolly, joyful moments and memories and cookie decorating, there's a lot of people, they're trying to muster up that joyfulness that just isn't there.
Right.
Because it's grief. It's loss. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be somebody at a table.
Right.
If you're on lockdown, you're not going to be getting together with your extended family, and it's going to be a very quiet Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I am reminded that God is still in control, and that God says that He is with us. Mm-hmm. And that in Ecclesiastes, God clearly says there's a time to mourn.
Yes.
And there's a time to cry. There's a time to rejoice. We can be, like this morning when He said that to me, I immediately started crying. I did not want to decorate. I have not done any Christmas shopping because those were things I did with my mom.
Yeah, that's so hard.
And she's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And I start looking through her ornaments, and I get teary, and I made a tree that was just full of angels for my mom.
Wow.
Peggy, if for you and for those that are watching, listening, if that's where you find yourself, lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pretend it's not there. If you're not experiencing that joy and merriment, make it low-key.
Yeah.
If you need to cry, if you need to journal, I mean, I just have stacks of journals. Write those emotions down. Write those feelings down. Give them a name.
Yes.
Why do you miss something or your job or your loved one? What is it you miss? What is it stirring in you?
Right.
Give it a name.
Yeah.
And then give it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And ask the Lord to replace that with His joy that passes all understanding.
Exactly.
We can be crying as we hang up an ornament.
Yeah.
Or we, and the other thing we need to do is tell our loved ones. You know, I have a lot of children, and they've watched me be a little mopey this year. Thanksgiving wasn't the same. My mom's birthday was in August. It was in October. And in 2 days is when my mother got to see the book, and she was living with us. And these are all triggers for me.
And I
tell my kids, listen, today is a hard day. Or I text them and I said, call your granddad. Today is a hard day. We have to use this time to bond together and also have real, honest, open conversations. I'm hurting. I'm grieving. I don't know where to go with my emotions right now. Just let me sit. Let me just think through these and let me give them to the Lord. And I promise you, God will restore that joy, because the reason we're celebrating Christmas is Jesus. Well, we should be celebrating Jesus like 365 days a year, not just one. And if you're not in that enthusiastic mood to shop, maybe get some of your kids to help, or just say, we're going to do something a little different this year. It's all okay. It's all okay to do that. And then you're not stuffing emotions that, I promise you, if you do try, they're going to come out in some form, and it will probably be taking a toll on your health. And that's not a good alternative.
No, it's not. Yeah, I know. This year, I mean, with all my cancer stuff since April, my life has been upended. And when I just told my husband, we're not putting up the tree this year. We've got little tiny ones. They're going around the house. They already got lights on them. They're just getting plugged in or turned on. And that's it. I can't do anymore because I'm spent. And it's okay. Yeah.
And I love hearing you say that, because we can't beat ourselves up. We have to manage. Yeah. And we have to know our limits. That's something. It took me a long time. It took me probably half my life to realize where my limits were, because I always thought of myself as the Energizer Bunny. I just keep going and keep going. And then I couldn't.
Right.
And I realized I am not unlimited. I have limits, and I have to protect them. And if I don't, the alternative is far worse. So enlist the help of your family. And
so
don't
true.
Expect them. And Peggy, I'm sure, like, your husband didn't know necessarily how you were thinking or feeling. Some of you, that decorating is your therapy. That is what gives you delight. For others, that's what overwhelms and consumes you. And if you didn't do what you did, Peggy, and communicate that to your husband, he wouldn't have known. And then he might have felt bad. Because he might have thought, what's your problem, Peggy? Get up and do the trees.
And he was the one saying he was even going to put up the tree before Thanksgiving, which he never says. That's like sacrilege in our home. And he's like, you know, I think everybody's got a good idea this year. And I'm like, who are you? But, you know, when it came around, it just never happened, because we were just too busy with other things. And it's just like, okay, only take down from the attic the stuff that we need.
That's, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the other thing. Our family, usually the kids all buy for each other. Mm-hmm. And that's changed over the years. This year, we made a decision, and I'll be honest with you, I'm still struggling a little bit with it because so many were knocked out of work for so long. They made the collective decision not to buy gifts for each other. And being the mama, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas morning, I'm thinking, no presents under the tree. it's not that everything's in the gifts, right? It's
right.
Not.
No.
But in my mind, I'm thinking
But there's
about
tradition
that.
Involved in that.
Exactly.
And you attach so much happiness with that tradition. And it is difficult. Yeah.
So, you know, again, talk to your children. If they're elementary ages, mm-hmm. the conversation needs to be short and brief because their logic and reasoning process is just not going to be there.
Right.
Depending on the maturity and the age of your children and how you're feeling about it, bring them into the conversation. Because you're teaching them how to live in the highs and lows of life.
Right.
And
yeah.
this is a low time for many. Mm-hmm. And when you teach them to forge ahead, that doesn't mean mm-hmm. plow through as if nothing is going on. It
right.
just means you got to
masking
through
it.
The
Can't
mud,
do that.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to be resilient. You got to keep moving, even if it's at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
But you tell the people around, like my daughter, I said, you know, I'm just not into shopping. I don't even want to do Amazon. I don't mm-hmm. want to. It's such an emotional thing
right.
that my mother and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter came alongside me and just called me and said, hey, Mom, let's go shopping and have lunch.
So it
kind of allows mm-hmm. your kids to kind of like come up underneath you and grab your hand and say, hey,
right.
I'll walk with you through this.
Yep. Exactly.
And like you with your husband, he's walking you with you.
But it's going to be a memorable experience and a Christmas you won't forget either. Because I remember one year our family, we didn't have a whole lot of money. And my dad said, you'll get one gift. And what the other gift, you know, that we gave each other was all handmade. Even the gift my dad gave me was handmade. And what a precious, that is the Christmas, the only Christmas I remember growing up because of that. And so it's not a bad thing, you know, mm-hmm. that was, and so, yeah, as we look at what's going on this year and think that we're changing things and making them different, maybe that is exactly what you need to do.
But God wants us to focus on Him.
Yeah.
He is our provider. He is our mm-hmm. protector. There is nothing that has happened to us or will happen to us that hasn't first gone through His hands. And
exactly.
and that may be hard if you've lost someone to an mm-hmm. illness or something unexpected. Maybe you have lost your business and you are sitting here thinking, gifts, forget gifts.
Right.
I don't even have food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure how I'm going to pay my mortgage on December 31st or January, whenever you pay this year,
right.
whether it's the 1st or the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have been hit so hard, it's a wonderful opportunity for those of us that, you know, have food, that we maybe have a little extra, for us to be able to come alongside, like my daughter came alongside me. It sounds mm-hmm. so silly. I'll go shopping with you, Mom. All she's telling me is, I love you and I'm going to walk with you
right.
through this.
Yeah.
Not
mm-hmm.
that we're, you know, going on some massive shopping spree, but just that
right.
she's coming alongside
an experience. Yep.
So for mm-hmm. you, if you have a sibling, maybe one of your brothers or sisters is struggling, or maybe your spouse, mm-hmm. like Peggy's husband, is walking along with Peggy in a very understanding way. If there is an opportunity for you to serve others, it immediately pulls you from your plight and
exactly.
you step into somebody else's. And that mm-hmm. is exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Be
yes.
His hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Minister to those. Come alongside them. Encourage them. Point them to Him.
Yeah.
And remind them
exactly.
that this is a season and it will not last forever.
Yep. Yeah. So true. So true. There's hope beyond this season. So we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor. And I'm going to come back and we're going to continue this awesome conversation. We've got more things to talk about, but we also want you to know that if you have anything, questions, comments, make sure you put those in the feed, and we'll make sure we incorporate those as well. So, Connie, I'll give you a little break, and we're going to hear from LearnWell Collective. If you don't know about them, they're one of our partners, and they want you to know that homeschooling is a serious commitment, which it truly is. I mean, you're taking your child's education into your own hands. You're investing time and energy into your children every day, as well as doing all the planning, research, problem solving, and for their needed great education. Well, LearnWell Home Education Collective helps you by taking these tasks off your plate so that you can homeschool with confidence. When you join LearnWell, you'll have both grade level and special needs experts supporting you every step of the way. They're a community, they're a support system, but they're more than that. They're mentors for you. So they say, we'd love to learn to serve you as a homeschooler this year. Find out more at learnwellcollective.org or contact them at info@learnwellcollective.org. And also, if you're one of our watchers or podcast listeners, you can save 10% off your membership. Just use the code SPED in your application. So definitely check them out. And thank you, LearnWell Collective, for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. So we're going to bring Connie back and continue this conversation about a family-focused Christmas. And we focused on a lot of things and just how we need to make sure Jesus is the reason for the season, definitely. But then just some things that generally take us off track, but also those things that this year are even more taking us off track just because of all the different things that we have going on because of COVID and job losses and just life that has happened very differently this year. So just thank you already, Connie, for everything that you've shared. It's been wonderful to just have out there for our audience. So, you know, thinking about all this, what advice do you have for families who find that maybe their habits or traditions divert their family Christmas celebrations from these important things? And I know we talked a little bit about this already, about, you know, just maybe letting go of them this year. And so what can they do this year to start, and I'm thinking year long, you know, to start repairing habits that we've all been thrown off track, and maybe even finding new habits is difficult. How do we build in these habits to focus on God, to focus on family, and to keep them going year-round, not just in the season of Christmas?
That's great. That's a fantastic question. I mean, we've gone through 10 months of upheaval and uncertainty, and then we mm-hmm. have an election that has riveted our country and polarized it. Mm-hmm. We've watched so much division and conflict and cancel culture. All of that is yeah. real, and it all plays on us. Mm-hmm. But when we want to, which we're not in a new normal yet,
that
will
take
a little while to kind of figure out what that's going to be. Just like mm-hmm. 9/11, many of you, if you weren't old enough to be here for 9/11, it took a while before people settled right. down and felt safe, or mm-hmm. they felt they got used to what was coming our way. Mm-hmm. I will say that we have more than just a virus and a vaccine and a presidential election and a new administration and what jobs, like 1 in 5 restaurants are now permanently closed. We don't even know right. what the fallout's going to be. So some of you are mm-hmm. still in a free fall. I mean, you haven't even yeah. hit that point. And some mm-hmm. of you, it's just been like nothing's ever happened except maybe you have had to have the kids around a little bit longer, or you're mm-hmm. not traveling as much, whatever it is.
Right.
But Peggy, in order to find that sense of normalcy, it just starts with one day, one decision. And I did an interview recently with someone, and I was basically saying, You pick a time or an activity. So if mm-hmm. you want to be more consistent in your time with the Lord, that's key, because right. it's from your time with the Lord that you're going to have that refueling. So
exactly.
you can go out to your family in the first mm-hmm. place. You know, we're already, most of us are already going slower, which is the second key, is going, taking a slower pace.
Right.
But let's just focus on the routine, setting a time or an activity. So that could mean this, that we know that we like routine. Well, our routine has been messed up. So yeah. we have to create a new one. And let's mm-hmm. just start with, okay, if I can't have the same routine, because everybody is just we can't do it. Uh-huh. We typically eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. We eat at least one meal together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Make that meal, whether it's breakfast. If you can't do 8 a.m. every morning, okay, fine, choose breakfast. That could be any time. It could be 7, it could be up to 11. Or choose lunch. Whenever that time happens, that's when you're going to crack open the Word of God, and you're going to tell the kids, hey, guys, we're going to read for 5 minutes. We're going to do this book. We're going to read these verses. We're going to practice our memory work. And that's it. You're going to start slow. But if you assign it, if you put it to a routine and you say, on this day, no matter what, I'm going to do this. Or during this activity, no matter what, we're going to do this. Every day, do it. Every day, do it. And I'm not talking about long, lengthy times.
Right.
You might have it, but depending on your season, you might not. Like, I'm in a different season. I have the ability now to spend a lot more in-depth time in the Word than when I had five little kids under 7 years old.
Right.
So you've got to know, you've got to have the routine or the activity and be consistent with it. So whichever one's going to work for you. Then you have to know what your availability is. Know your season. Don't look at my season and go, well, she gets this much time. Yes, I do. But my kids moved out.
Right.
And I have, I'm able, you know, I'm not waking up with a baby, and I'm not waking up, and I'm staying up till 1 or 2 in the morning with a teenager.
Yeah.
Know your season. And then give yourself grace in that season to say, I can do a verse. I can do a journal. I can write for 5 minutes in my journal. I can write down how I'm feeling about this at this moment.
Right.
I can do that. So routine or activity, no matter what. Know your limitations. And then just tell your children, this is what we're doing. As if it's normal, like we eat all the time or we go to the bathroom, whatever it is, those will help you make sense and refuel your soul, because that's where we're, most of us right now, we're desperate in our soul, we're thirsty, we're parched. We need to be filling ourselves up, not on Netflix, but we need to be. There's a great book by my friend that came out, and she and I did a podcast together. And we need to be feasting on God's word if we're going to be able to feed the ones that we're supposed to be and teaching and training. And when we have that mindset that we fill up so we can pour into our kids or our neighbors, then there's a greater motivation for us to be able to do that. So it's first for yourself. But out of that abundance, you're able to pour into others.
Yes, that's so true. I mean, I heard from one mom in our community who just said, I was so exhausted that I just decided Wednesdays were my day. And she just said, school doesn't happen on Wednesdays. All my kids have little buckets and activities. But she said, I work out. My kids know I need to do laundry and I need to be alone. And you know, and she's just set this time aside. And I thought, well, good for you. You know, that's what you need, and you've defined that, and you've told your kids this is what's going to happen. And like you said, Connie, your kids will follow whatever you tell them. It becomes a new normal. You just have to be willing to go through and follow through with it and do it.
They're watching you. So in some ways, Peggy, you know this to be true. The declarations that we make, our children are watching. So we're actually modeling to them. How do you persevere when you're too tired to get out of bed? How do you drag yourself out of bed? How do you do dinner when you don't feel like doing dinner? Oh, popcorn and fruit. Sounds good to me. but I love what you said there, because we can change things up, giving ourselves permission. That's the beauty of homeschooling, to be honest with you. We have the freedom to pivot and adjust as the needs of ourselves as women, as the needs of our kids. Maybe we've got some kids, that are, some teens, or some struggles and learning struggles with our children. We're able to say, hey, hold up. We're not on anybody else's scope and sequence here.
Exactly.
It's ours. And I just say to that mama, bravo. And if some of you are in that position, you have the permission. We're giving you the permission.
Take so true. Yep. Break. Exactly.
And take care of yourself. Yep. You're going to be on the other side one day, I promise you. And it's a very different story you'll be telling.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and you can't buy those years back, you know, that's in your life or your children's life. And to be to be present there instead of just surviving. I think we do that too much as we survive, and we don't set those, like you said, those activities and those times and be purposeful. And we do it for our kids. We do it with their lesson plans, but we don't do it beyond that. And I think that's, you know, the beauty of what you're saying is you've got to go beyond the lesson plan. You've got to incorporate this into your family life to focus on, you know, to focus on God, to focus on those relationships. And I even told somebody once, you know, we spent probably the first 2 years of homeschooling doing character training. My kids were fighting all the time, and that's about all we focused on.
Your character course.
Oh, we use Konos, so it was incorporated in the curriculum. But you know, my boys now are each other's best friends. Yeah. But you know, they could have killed each other at that age. But you know, you think about, was it worth me spending the time on that? Yes, definitely it was. And so don't just think it stops with the books. You know,
you know, Connie, it's funny, said, I often tell parents, and I'm just going to say to you that are watching or listening, what do you want to see in those family relationships when your kids, in 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 15 years from now, what do you want those dynamics to be or look like? Right. And the reason I say that is, if you kind of think about where it is you want to see those relationships, it's, I'll tell you what, it will not be a straight line. It's certainly not.
Exactly.
Anything, I can tell you, be prepared for the unexpected. But the important part is, if you think about where it is you want to see those relationships with your kids, and you, and you were to say to me right now, like, what's the most, I would ask you, what's the most important thing? You know, for you that are listening, what do you want in those relationships? Do you want them to call you? Do you want them to come and hang around you? Do you want to, like, cook together or do projects together? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you say that that matters, that's what you want in 5, 10, 15 years, then it's got to matter today.
Oh, yes.
It has to matter today. You have to be working today toward that end goal. And when, you know, somebody stumbles or falls or face plants, or there's a pitfall, or there's a relationship breakdown, or there's hurt or hurt feelings or brokenness, that's all redeemable, because God says it is. And those words of, I'm sorry, please forgive me, or, hey, let's back up and start again. I think we missed a character training lesson. Flying's not okay.
Repeat.
Let's try that again. You know, it's like math. It's like multiplications. Okay, let's get back to the single digit.
Yes.
Let's master that, then we'll go to the double digits. But when I share that with people, I really just kind of, if you were to close your eyes and think about a painting, and I want you to think about your child as a masterpiece in the making. And you've got to paint a picture for them. Cast a vision of what that's going to look like. When you're not telling them, because they don't live in your house,
right?
When they have to be home, or you're not telling them what they have to do or how they have to work or what attitude they have to have, or even how clean they need to make their room.
Exactly.
There will come a time where you don't do any of that. You either you know, watch them and go, well, that isn't how you were raised. Or you look at them and smile and say, it's all in there. Everything you've been teaching and pouring into your kids, it's in there. And they can recite every answer to every question, recite every answer you're going to give to every question they're going to pose. They already know your values. They know your morals. They know what you stand for. And if you've been teaching them God's word, they know what God's word says.
Exactly.
But when they hit those older years, if you're painting a picture of what you want the relationship to look like. You're giving them something to aim for instead of something nebulous of, I hope we see each other after you move out. Okay, I'll see you at Christmas. No. And we want more than that for our families, and you can have more than that.
Yeah.
And this Christmas, if it's been rough or shaky, you can still have that, because as Peggy, as you so wonderfully said, you're going to remember the year that you didn't put up a Christmas tree.
Yeah, you will.
And it's not going to be because mom was in a bad mood and mom just said, we're canceling Girlfriend.
Right, exactly. It's not a Grinch moment, but yes.
Because we're walking through a crisis, and a crisis is going to look different. Yeah. And it's okay if it looks a little different. And we'll talk about them as we go, as we lay down. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray about them together as a family. And yes. We're not going to be afraid to talk about the hard things. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be afraid to talk about the fear that some may be experiencing. Right. We're not going to be afraid to talk and share about the grief or maybe even the discouragement that yeah. you or one of your kids are experiencing. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it, even yeah. if it's privately and not publicly with all the kids.
Right.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to embrace mm-hmm. this as a family.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It's so important that just that unit, it's a support unit. And we have to remember that it's not just, we just survive alongside one another. We have to come together and we have to be real in the communication, like we were talking about earlier. It's so important too. But not just putting on a happy face and saying, oh, everything's fine here. Yeah.
So. Yeah. And knowing your children helps you know what level of openness you can have.
Yeah.
But we have to be, you know, we're in a culture where we're a little afraid to be vulnerable, to be honest with you, because yeah. it can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous because hurt can happen.
Yes.
Those misspoken words can mm-hmm. be rather painful.
Right.
But this is an opportunity when the world isn't watching everything that your family's doing, because we are, you know, going slower, that we can be a little more vulnerable with each other and get right. your children to trust that what they share with you, the struggles that they're facing. And, you mm-hmm. know, we've talked a lot, Peggy, about what, you know, what maybe we're facing, the loss of grief, mm-hmm. the loss of a lot of different things, but you know, right. our kids have lost a lot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They've lost some of their academics that they were mm-hmm. doing. I mean, if you were homeschooling before COVID hit, you're probably sailing and your kids are probably soaring because right. they're actually getting time to do more school.
But for projects on the side, that's what my daughter's been doing.
40 million kids. Mm-hmm. You may not be having such a hunky-dory time. Right. You may have not been able to experience a graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Your child may not have been able to go off to college. They may yeah, be doing right. college virtual, their freshman mm-hmm. year, where they're supposed to be making all these relationships.
Right.
Your child may not be able to be involved in a certain sport, depending on where they live. Or mm-hmm. they may be seeing and witnessing the hypocrisy and the confusion with standards of what exactly are we supposed to do today?
Right. Yeah.
They are grieving in a very different way.
Mm,
don't
that
minimize
is true.
That.
Yeah.
Don't marginalize that. That's mm-hmm. a big deal. They may not be getting together with their besties anymore.
Right.
Because maybe the other families are afraid to have anybody together. Or maybe you're not allowed to, depending on where you are.
Right. Yeah.
That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And if they can't participate in that sport and they were hoping and praying to go to college and play that collegiate
right.
sport, that's a yep. death of a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mom, Dad, be very much aware that mm-hmm. you are experiencing a loss
yeah.
in various areas. Your children are too.
Right.
And you mm-hmm. want to have time to allow them to walk through their emotions and their feeling by
yes.
affirming them mm-hmm. and letting them know that you hear it, you understand. You can't fix it. You
say, right.
Man, I wish we could fix it. I know mm-hmm. when we were little, it was easy to fix everything. I mean, it was just like, kiss it, tell them
right.
it's okay, and they're
exactly.
fine.
Exactly, yeah.
It doesn't work that way when they're
mm-hmm.
older, you know,
right.
and they're not getting the jobs they wanted, or they're losing their jobs.
Right, yeah. I know my son graduated during this whole thing from college, and finding work is really hard, you know what
yeah.
I mean? He's just working a job to get by, and it's so frustrating for him, and you know, you just come alongside, and you have those talks, and you just say, you know what, God's got something. We just have to keep looking and asking, and God opened a huge door for my other son just today. So, you know, you just don't know. And
yeah,
so,
and you're teaching them
mm-hmm.
how to do life, the ups
yeah.
and downs, the hard.
Exactly.
And my son has, he was furloughed, and then he was brought back, and then he was, then he was let go. And then
wow.
he was hired. Because it was like, just get a job, you know, work any
yeah.
job. I don't care
mm-hmm.
what the job is. Just, you got to get a job. And he got a job. And then a month later, that job ended because it was, you know, contract work. And
wow.
he was out again. You know, this mom and dad, this cycle that we're on is having an impact on our kids' mental psyche as well, their confidence. You know, they may have done it all right.
Right, exactly.
Studied hard, like your son, got that degree, ready to go and step out into the world. And it's like, wow, well, this didn't pan out like I thought.
Right, yeah.
So in some ways, Peggy, I find the older our kids are, the more listening I end up doing, and definitely the more praying I do. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we were talking, going back to your question, we were talking about some of the things we can do. I literally, we have a group thread on our phone, just our family, and I will literally post a verse there or something that God is teaching me that morning. Then I'll send it, or I will pray specifically in one of my prayer journals. I have all the kids, and I'm praying specifically for what I know they're struggling with, whether it's work or relationship or, you know, all the things. And I'll just text them, and I'll text them a verse with no expectation that they will turn around and go, oh, thanks, Mom, that was so memorable. No, that's what Mom did.
Yeah, exactly.
Text your friends the same thing. Pray for them. Let them know that you see them. Whether it's your adult children, your teens, your tweens. Try to walk in their shoes a little bit.
Yeah, that's great advice. It's so good. I know I sometimes just pull out my phone and all my texts, and I'm like, okay, who am I supposed to pray for today, God? And then I just text them and say, I'm praying for you. And then I put down what I pray, and my sister-in-law came back to me the other day, and she goes, why did you pray that for me? I'm like, well, that's the Holy Spirit told me. And she just, like, the flood doors opened on things that were going on with her family that she hadn't shared. And so, you know, just be really intentional, like Connie said, about those things, because it's so important. You know, Connie, before we wrap up, I want you to share some of your resources, because I want people to be able to find you. I mean, Connie's just a wealth of information. We could sit here and talk for 2 to 3 hours, I'm sure.
You know, I want you to be hope-filled. I did a podcast this week because there are a lot of people that are hurting, and they don't have the hopeful feelings and the joyfulness, and I get it. I'm there too. I'll cry this morning and laugh with you this evening.
Right.
The nature of life, right? Mm-hmm. But I have, so I have the book. I don't know if the light's kind of bright. Sorry. There we go.
Parenting
Beyond the Rules, Raising Teens with Confidence and Joy. And I wanted to show you this, Peggy. I wanted your readers to see. It's got that paint swap with the different colors.
Yeah.
And then has 5 different paint brushes with different colors and different shapes. And the reason that that's so important is because you're painting a masterpiece. God's those are God's children. He's the architect. He knows exactly what he has hardwired your children to do. You don't paint a masterpiece using the exact same color and the exact same paintbrushes and the exact same strokes. It's one stroke at a time. It's that honesty and integrity and perseverance and resilience and all the character qualities. And then you pile on top of that learning and knowledge and skills. And and before you know it, you've got this beautiful masterpiece, and you step back and think, I think we need to probably work on that. So let's get a little more paint. We're going to go in here and do a little more precision. But your child is a masterpiece in the making, and God has given you a front row seat to see that. So I do have Parenting Beyond the Rules, and I mentioned to Peggy earlier, I recently did a broadcast with Focus on the Family. And it was a blessing. I was humbled. It did very well. It was on parenting your child's heart, and it's actually been featured now in their Best of 2020. So
that's just so cool.
That broadcast, Peggy, airs December 23rd at 3:00. It'll be on their YouTube channel. It'll be on Focus on the Family's Facebook page, and pretty much anywhere Focus is, it'll be there. And then they have a gift set where they have their CD, for some people who use CDs, and then they have the digital media. So you can buy their whole series of Best of 2020, but I would encourage you guys to listen to that and be informed and encouraged. And you can find me on social media or over at my website at ConnieAlbers.com. So
ConnieAlbers.com. And then on your blog is your podcast, right?
I do have a ConnieAlbers.com/podcast.
Okay.
But each episode that airs every Wednesday is on the blog.
Okay. That's
and you
awesome.
Can listen to it wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Yeah. And I'm going to share all those links that Connie shared with us, plus her Facebook page and her Instagram account and all of that on the YouTube recording of this. So if you're listening on the podcast or you're watching live on Facebook, just know that all those will be on the YouTube description, because it's the only place I can put all that content. So so we just do that with our longer broadcasts.
Yeah, type in Connie Albers and you'll probably find me.
Yep, exactly. I know, it's like my name. It's unique enough. You can figure out where you're at. You can't hide too well.
But Peggy, you do. I just have to tell you and your listeners who adore you and follow you, you just have a heart of gold, and you have a heart for the moms and dads that listen to the work that you're doing in the homeschool movement as well. And it was my honor just to be here and to be able to pour into those that trust you and listen to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing this time with me and allowing me to do this interview with you.
This was awesome. I'm so glad I had you on. And and this was such needed, just a balm for our hearts, you know, and our families that are, as we wrap up this year, I think these are the things we need to resonate in our hearts as we're going into 2021 without knowing what the future holds. But just having that joy and being focused on what's most important. We talked a lot about tonight. So thank you so much for that, Connie, and all your words of wisdom. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peggy.
Yeah, and I also want to thank LearnWell Collective for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. You can find out more about them again at learnwellcollective.org. And like I said a couple times on the broadcast, this is our last one for the season. I'm taking a couple weeks off, at least of the broadcast, not of Sped Homeschool. I'm working behind the scenes there. So we have some big website changes coming up, so we'll be looking up for that. But our January focus is going to be on learning methodologies. And so our kickoff week will be Tuesday, January 5th, and I'll be interviewing Dr. Peter Gray. He is a best-selling author of the book Free to Learn, and he's also a research professor at Boston College. And so he's going to talk to us about unschooling and the power that it has to boost your child's learning potential. So that's going to be a very interesting conversation. He has lots of research that talks about unschooling and just how kids turn out. And I have to tell you, his research said exactly what happened to my younger two when I unschooled them. So it's very accurate. But they tend to be very free thinkers. So definitely join us for that. Look at the schedule. We have a whole bunch of different learning methodologies we're going to dive into in January. So look at that on our website or on the Facebook events feed. So to learn more about that. But Nancy's... Thank you, Nancy. She says, Peggy's the best. I love you, Nancy. We haven't chatted in a while. But anyways, just thank you all for joining us. Have an awesome Christmas and New Year's, and we'll see you in 2021. For the podcast listeners, though, there are a couple short episodes that will be coming out that I've already pre-recorded, so be watching for those. But thanks again, Connie. This was awesome. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on Sped Homeschool Conversations. Bye, everyone.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.